Now we turn to Louisville Business First. We will read from the issue dated January 27th, 2023. Your reader today is Julia Shane. As a reminder, Radio Eye is a reading service intended for people who are blind or who have other disabilities that make it difficult to read printed material. Our first article is titled APH Names Expanded Museum. It'll be known as the Dot Experience, paying homage to the APH history. Written by Shay Van Hoy. American Printing House for the Blind has picked a new name for its museum, which is undergoing a renovation and expansion project. The nonprofit, one of Louisville's largest, with $62 million in 2021 local income, has named the museum the Dot Experience. The expansion project for the museum and other areas of APH's campus at 1839 Frankfort Avenue was announced in June of 2022. The project will now total over 100,000 square feet of combined construction, which will include a brand new museum that will break ground this spring, according to a news release from APH. The new museum will be about 20,000 square feet. Its naming announcement comes with the 165th anniversary of APH. The Dot Experience exhibits are being designed with the input of blind and low vision organizations and individuals, accessibility experts, and members of the community. The experience will chronicle APH's long history in breaking barriers and innovating, will open the doors to greater conversation around the lived experiences of people who are blind and low vision, and be an invitation for visitors to make changes in the world, the release states. The Board of Trustees of APH is honored to support the work of this leading organization and the commitment to inclusiveness as the norm, said Board Chair Phoebe Wood. Our goal for the new museum and manufacturing tour is to become a significant visitor destination in Louisville and also model what it is to be an inclusive museum and to share that with others. The museum's new name pays homage to APH's history and commitment to Braille, a series of six dots that in combination form letters, numbers, and words, and serve as the code for communication and lifelong literacy for those who cannot see. The Dot Experience brings to life American Printing House's stories and more on a world stage. And it does so with inclusion, accessibility, and innovation always at the forefront, the release states. In preparation for this construction, the current APH Museum location will close to the public in early summer, with plans for the Dot Experience grand opening in 2025. The construction project is being led by Project Manager PLC Management, Architect KNBA Architects, and Construction Manager Bose Construction, all of Louisville. The cost of the project was not given. The next article is titled Elixir Kombucha Nets $240,000 in WeFunder Push. Elixir is a growing kombucha brand in Kentucky and beyond. Written by Eleanor Tolbert. Elixir Kombucha, owned by Corey and Danielle Wood, has raised more than $240,000 on WeFunder, a crowdfunding platform that connects startups with investors online. The company, founded in 2016, creates its own kombucha product, selling it in stores across Kentucky and in some surrounding states. Corey Wood said the campaign launched on January 1st. The goal is to raise $1 million at a $6 million valuation cap, and Elixir Kombucha is planning to use the funds to scale. The Woods' primary goal is to expand Elixir's production capacity. The company operates out of Chef Space, a restaurant incubator in the Russell neighborhood. While it was great for starting the business, Wood said they've outgrown the space. With the new funds, the company is planning a move to a 6,000 square foot space in the warehouse side of Logan Street Market in Shelby Park. The Woods hopes to be in the new facility in the next 3 to 6 months. I'm looking forward to having larger capacity to open up more opportunities for product development, Danielle Woods said. We've been limited by our capacity for so long now, and the ideas keep coming, so this expansion will allow us to bring them to life. With the move, the business plans to hire a few more employees. In the next year, they hope to hire 2 in production and 2 in sales and marketing. The 5-year goal is to have 16 to 18 people on staff. What Corey and Danielle have been able to accomplish through sheer determination over the past few years has been inspiring to watch, Patrick Kinsella, Director of Operations, said in a message. I can't wait to see what can be done with a bigger team, a dedicated production facility, and an incredible community of supporters. Elixir was intentional about choosing WeFunder to launch its campaign because it allows members of the community to take part in investing. Corey Wood said both literally and metaphorically, it takes a community to make Elixir. Fundamentally, what makes a product like kombucha special is the live culture, Wood said. It's known as SCOBY, which is an acronym for Symbiotic Community of Bacteria and Yeast. It's through that community working in collaboration that kombucha becomes a very special probiotic beverage. But the Elixir's mission is to make healthy choices easier, and Corey Wood said the company is building a community around that mission. As Elixir grows, that community of folks grows alongside, Corey Wood said. That leads to our seed investment round, and the idea of community is emerging yet again. Elixir's lead investor is local developer Gil Holland, who invested $50,000 in the round. Another early investor in Elixir is Key Horse Capital. Elixir is the best-selling local kombucha brand in the entire Whole Foods Midwest region. The owners said the product was just introduced to the Whole Foods in Cincinnati this past week. It's sold in Whole Foods locations in Louisville and Lexington, Kentucky, local grocer Rainbow Blossom, as well as 150 other independent retailers across the state. The product also is at quick service eateries like Quill's Coffee, Green District Salads, and Shiraz Mediterranean Grill. Elixir's 2022 revenue was $170,000, which is the company's best year yet. Since its inception, the company has garnered nearly $1 million in sales. The next article is titled, Chef Edward Lee Offers New Details on NAMI. Celebrated chef will explore his Korean roots with this steakhouse. Written by Michael Jones. Chef Edward Lee's new steakhouse, NAMI, is one of the most anticipated restaurant openings the local dining scene has seen in years, because for the first time, the James Beard Award-winning chef will be exploring his Korean roots. NAMI will serve a mix of traditional and modern Korean dishes. Lee announced his plans for the steakhouse and Neighbor's Noodles, a companion takeout-only concept that will be operated by the NAMI team in December. Lee told us the concept for NAMI grew out of the COVID-19 pandemic. He collaborated with Chef Yeon-hee Chung, the former owner of Cherim Korean Restaurant, on several successful pop-up events that gave him a lot of new culinary ideas, and he started to believe the time was right for the new kind of Korean restaurant in Louisville. I've always wanted to do Korean food, Lee admitted. Obviously, it's something that I know from my childhood. It's just timing. Korean food, even 5 years ago, I think, was somewhat obscure. But it's gotten a lot of press, and it's gotten a lot of attention, so I think it's a good time for it. NAMI is scheduled to open at 835 East Main Street in March. The restaurant is part of the new Martin on Main development in the Butchertown neighborhood. The space is designed in collaboration with Work Architecture and Design, along with Winbrenner Capital Management, the latter of which owns the restaurant and building. The $40 million development will include apartments and retail space. NAMI will have 2 levels, with the first floor holding the main dining room, bar, and lounge, and the upstairs featuring traditional Korean grill tables, a private dining room, and a private karaoke room. The menu will feature classic Korean dishes alongside modern interpretations of the cuisine, such as Korean barbecue, bibimbap, banchan, mandu, and pajun, as well as feature items like house-made kimchi and more. Chung will serve as a consultant chef at NAMI. Brianna Baker, a former sous chef at Lee's 610 Magnolia, will serve as executive chef of the new restaurant. The next article is titled CF Capital Moves to New Downtown Office. Financial firm moves from St. Matthews after an extensive search. Written by Eleanor Tolbert. CF Capital, a real estate investment firm, has moved its headquarters into a new office at 607 West Main Street. The firm is taking up about 2,500 square feet in the downtown Louisville building. The company was previously located on Chenoweth Lane in St. Matthews. Tyler Chesser, co-founder and managing partner of CF Capital, said the firm is in a growth mindset. In order to achieve its goals, it needed to be in a bigger office. The boutique firm focuses on acquiring and managing multifamily assets. It has about 900 units under management in the Louisville area and in Indiana at a valuation of $90 million to $100 million, Chesser said. The partners declined to disclose revenue figures. Co-founder and managing partner Brian Flatherty said that they chose downtown for the unique building and central location. "This building in particular offered the energy that matched our culture," Flattery said. "In addition to that, the business community needs to be reinvesting into downtown, and I think a city's only as strong as its downtown core. So it's a way for us to kind of play our part into that as well." The business partners had the opportunity to relocate the firm to some other cities, but decided to stay in Louisville. Louisville provides a strategic location to be within a drive of all of its properties, and it allows the firm to reinvest back into the community. With the building's natural light and exposed brick, only slight improvements need to be made to the space. Chesser said the company made sure to include several workspaces to encourage productivity, but also provide several collaborative areas for the team. CF Capital has 5 employees in the office now. Flaherty said that the group is looking to add about 10 new team members in the next 3 years. The new office has a dedicated space for the company's podcast as well. CF Capital has a weekly podcast called Elevate. Chesser said the nearly 4-year-old show helps investors learn elevate themselves, which can in turn help advance their real estate careers. The next article is titled Pickleball Venue Picks Food Partner. Several pickle-themed dishes are now on the menu at the restaurant and venue. Written by Eleanor Tolbert. Good Bounce Pickleball Yard is under development at 1515 Rivershore Drive off of River Road. The venue will be partnering with Ashley Nothington, owner and chef of Happy Belly Bistro. Happy Belly Bistro operates out of 1020 Craft Brewery in Butchertown. John Flotter, co-owner of Good Bounce and co-founder of 1020 Craft Brewery, said they picked Northington because of the past partnership and the eatery's quality food. It is planning to offer high-end bowls in which patrons can pick their own protein and other toppings. Happy Belly has amazing food, and they have such a range of what they can do, Flotter said. We thought a different concept would be really enjoyable. Flotter said the venue will have several pickle-themed bites on the menu as well. One of those could be a pickleback, which involves pickle juice and a shot of tequila. We plan on leaning into tequilas and rums here, Fodder said. We'll also have frozen drinks. At the end of the day, we're selling fun. We're selling an escape for an hour. The restaurant will have a tropical theme. Flotter said the group is looking into having music as well. Along with Flotter, the venue comes from Lee Wayland, co-owner of Core Real Estate Partners. It's expected to open in the spring. The 45,000-square-foot complex is located within River Park Place, a mixed-use development that includes apartments and condos, as well as dining, retail, and office space, which is operated by Poe Company. There is an existing 2,600-square-foot building on the property, which is being renovated to house the restaurant and bar. McCormick Construction and Development is the general contractor on the project, while Joseph & Joseph is providing the architectural work. The next article is titled City of Prospect Sues Over Housing Development. Development Seeks to Bring Affordable Housing to Prospect. Written by Eleanor Tolbert. The City of Prospect has initiated a lawsuit attempting to stop the recently approved Prospect Cove multifamily development. A legal complaint filed January 12th seeks to appeal the approval. It's against the Louisville Metro Government, Louisville Metro Council, LDG Multifamily LLC, Registered to Housing Developer LDG Development, and Prospect Development LLC, the owner of the property. In December, Metro Council approved LDG Development for a change in zoning request at 6500 Forest Cove Lane and 7301 River Road to construct Prospect Cove. Prospect Cove is a 178-unit low-income housing development. The three-story complex will total 152,464 square feet on 10 acres near the edge of Prospect. The complaint alleges the action from Metro Council has caused Prospect to be injured and aggrieved. The City of Prospect is being represented by Louisville-based Wyatt, Tarrant, and Combs. In October, the Planning Commission approved the change in zoning request in a 7-0 vote. The lawsuit details some of the public testimony against the development, which included concerns over the scale of the building in relation to surrounding structures, potential health problems from a nearby gasoline facility, and violations of the comprehensive plan. The complaint states, after 3 hours of public comments, the Planning Commission only deliberated for 5 minutes, claiming the Commission did not make the decision on any factual findings or provide any justification or evidence to support its decision. It then claims Metro Council accepted the Planning Commission's recommendation at its December meeting despite the lack of explanation. Metro Council's ordinance granting change in zoning for the subject property from R4, R5A, and OR1 to C1 and R7 with variances is erroneous, arbitrary, an abuse of discretion, and or deficient as provided by Kentucky law, the complaint claims. LDG provided a statement. This lawsuit, which appeals the approval of a scaled-down version of Prospect Cove, is the clearest evidence yet of the fact that the expressed concerns over size and density were mere smokescreens for the real concern of the City of Prospect, the socioeconomic status of those who this development will serve. The Louisville Metro Council got it right this time, and we look forward to defending that decision in the Circuit Court. Josh Abner, executive administrator with the Jefferson County Attorney's Office, which would defend Metro government, said the office does not comment on active litigation. Last June, Louisville Business First reported Louisville needs 25,388 affordable and available units at or below the extreme low income level. The Prospect Cove development was introduced in 2016, and at the time, it was not well received by Prospect or Louisville Metro officials. In the earlier plans, LDG proposed a complex that included 198 units in a 245,000 square foot, four-story building. Christy Lanier Robinson, Executive Vice President of Communications and Strategic Partnerships at LDG, told LBF in 2021 the new plan will be 18.5 units per acre as opposed to the previous 20.6 units per acre. In late 2017, Louisville Metro Government denied, via a 14-11 vote, the change in zoning request for that version of the complex. The former development was intended for senior living. The new plans are more focused on multifamily, and they don't have an age restriction for tenants. At the December Metro Council meeting, Metro Councilman Scott Reed, R16, who represents Prospect, said the project is still inconsistent with the rest of the area. "This is a monstrosity," Reed said at the meeting. "It does not fit into the area. Had the developer at any point come back with a reasonable compromise, we wouldn't be having this discussion." The next article is titled Katrina Hill, Founder of Katrina's Kitchen, Dies at 57, written by Michael Jones. The founder of the seasoning business, Katrina's Kitchen, Southern Spices Incorporated, has died at the age of 57. Katrina Hill died Friday, January 13th of heart failure after having surgery for vascular issues. Hill founded Katrina's Kitchen in 2014 after a battle with acute renal failure forced her to close the Jeffersontown restaurant Dinner Is Done. Katrina's Kitchen sells all-purpose Southern seasoned flour, fish, and vegetable seasoning and an all-purpose spice called A Little Something Something, the same homemade seasoning and flour that Hill used at her restaurant. People were calling me asking, "What do you put in your greens?" I used to tell them I put a little something something in it. That's how I came up with the name. Then I decided if people wanted it bad enough to call me while I was in the hospital, I was going to bag it up and get paid, Hill told Business First in a 2022 interview. Kroger started carrying Katrina's Kitchen products in 2016. Hill got her seasonings in Walmart and Sam's Club by becoming a finalist in a pitch competition, the 9th annual open call in Bentonville, Arkansas in June of 2022. She also released a cookbook in Katrina's Kitchen, Southern Soulful Recipes, in November of 2022. Carenza Townsend, Hill's daughter, said her mother was at peace before her death because of the things she had accomplished. Her messaging before she passed was that all was well with her soul and she understood it was her time to go, Townsend explained. Her body was just tired. Her working so hard to complete her cookbook and her contract with Walmart, those were two things she wanted to complete before her time and she got to do those things. Townsend said her aunt, Lisa Hill Driver, Hill's sister, helped Hill operate Katrina's Kitchen. Because of her health issues, Townsend said Hill put the business in her daughter's name to make the transition easier after her death. Townsend said she does not plan to make any changes to the operation. Hill's passing led to an outpouring of emotion on social media. Friends, former customers, and even casual acquaintances shared their memories of her. Hill is survived by her children, Carenza Townsend and Keenan Gutter, Faith Grady, siblings, Lisa Hill Driver, Samuel, and Don Hill, Helen, and grandchildren, Michael, L, Delilah, and Lennox. The next article is titled, McBrayer Names New Managing Member of Louisville Office. Local leader joined the firm in 2011. It has grown to employ 25 attorneys. Written by Haley Cawthone. Cynthia, Cindy, Ethinger has been named co-managing member of the Louisville office of McBrayer PLLC. Ethinger will share duties with member Ivan Shell and will work closely with him to grow the office and transition leadership over the coming years, according to a news release. Ethinger has been with McBrayer since 2011, when the firm's first office on Shelbyville Road was only a few years old. Since then, the office has grown from around 7 attorneys to 25 and now occupies an entire floor at 500 West Jefferson Street in downtown Louisville. The firm currently employs 43 people in the local office. Cindy Effinger has played a crucial role in the growth of our Louisville office, said McBrayer managing member James Frazier III in the release. Her employment law practice is a major draw. She has given long hours and total dedication to her clients, and she has an unimpeachable skill set both in and out of the courtroom. Her leadership within the firm and the community has helped to make McBrayer's Louisville office both a powerhouse of legal services and a collegial environment of continued growth. We are excited to see how our firm's thriving culture in Louisville will evolve with Cindy at the helm. Cindy has been a leader within this office even before she had the title, said Shell in the release. She has been a trusted advisor and steadfast advocate for all of her clients, and we are confident that our firm's presence and success, both in Louisville and beyond, will continue to grow and flourish even more as she steps into this well-deserved leadership role. As Louisville Business First recently reported, 8 local attorneys joined McBrayer following the dissolving of Middleton Reutlinger in early December. We also reported that about 30 attorneys from Middleton Reutlinger were joining a new firm, Gray Ice Higdon, and Dinsmore picked up 3 attorneys from the dissolved firm, adding them as partners. The next article is titled Bluff City Soap Closes New Lou Location, written by Eleanor Tolbert. Bluff City Soap closed at 815 East Market Street in New Lou Marketplace. In a Facebook post, the store said it is consolidating operations into its 5 other Louisville area locations in St. Matthews, Middletown, Pleasure Ridge Park, Fern Creek, and Jeffersonville, Indiana. It also has storefronts in Cordon, Indiana, and Elizabethtown, Kentucky. The Louisville community has embraced Bluff City Soaps, and we look forward to continuing serving customers for many more years to come, the post continued. The Dallas-based retailer, which offers artisan soaps and other bath products, first moved into the 2,700-square-foot space in New Lou Marketplace in 2020. At the time, franchise group Louisville Soap LLC, owned by Suntan City founder Rick Kuber, signed 2 different development deals to open a total of 150 new Bluff City Soap locations in Kentucky, Indiana, and Tennessee in 5 years. It started franchising locally in 2018. The next article is titled Union 15 Closes Its Doors, Cites Broken Economy as a Factor, written by Michael Jones. A South Louisville pizza restaurant near Iroquois Park has closed its doors for good. Union 15, located in Colonial Gardens at 816 West Kenwood Drive, announced its closure through its social media channels on January 19th. The restaurant, which opened in late 2019, closed January 21st. We fought a good fight, but we can't overcome a broken economy, extremely high food costs, and an upcoming year of no forgiveness in either direction, the social media post said. The post went on to thank the community for its support of the restaurant through the coronavirus pandemic and corresponding challenges. We are so grateful, the post continued. We have had interest from several other businesses in occupying our space here at Colonial Gardens who will continue to serve our community. We believe in the South End, the families who live here, and the incredible relationships we see each and every day. Union 15 serves Chicago-style thin crust and hand-tossed pizzas, along with about 50 beers on tap, as well as wine and bourbon selections. Union 15 is the second restaurant to close in the revamped Colonial Gardens development. Louisville Business First reported that Biscuit Belly, a growing local franchise, closed its restaurant there in October, and a replacement has not yet been named. This concludes excerpts from Louisville Business First. Your reader has been Julia Shane. Now, please stay tuned for Kentucky Series on Radio I.